Behold, John says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have been looking for the past couple of months the subject of Christ's return. What will happen? What will take place? What will he do? And I said last time that it is an issue that is under attack. It is an issue as well that is misunderstood and abused. And people, simply Christians, many times have come to a place and said, well, it is so complicated. Christians have all kinds of views about it. So it's better just to leave it to one side. But I trust we saw much earlier on that this truth is fundamental truth. The return of Christ, His glorious coming. But also, I said that how important it is to understand that every time we read in the Scriptures, both in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and also in the writings of the apostles, when they talk about Christ's return, we have to take all of the Scripture together. We can't just pick and mix and say, well, here is the passage and just concentrate on that text. Remember, every time that Christ's return is mentioned in the Word of God, it is nestled within a pastoral issue. The apostles and the Lord himself are trying to deal with a pastoral issue, and so they bring the matter up that is relevant. And so we can't just pick and concentrate on one or two verses, and we must appreciate that we ought to take the whole of the Scripture. Now, I also mentioned that to simplify things, we want to look at three things. Now we come to the main part. We could say up to now it's been introductory messages, but we have come to the main part. Actually, what will happen when Jesus Christ come? And I trust I said last time that I'm going to divide it into three parts. So it is very simple. Three things we are going to think about in general. First, we are going to see about Christ's dealings with his people. When he comes, he's going to deal with his people. Also, then, we are going to see how he deals with the wicked, with the unconverted, with the fallen angels, demons, and Satan. And then, finally, we are going to see how Jesus Christ will deal with the whole world, the whole system of creation, the order of creation. Now, for a few sessions, we want to look at Christ coming for his people, his dealings with his church, with his bride. What will Jesus do for his people when he comes? This is going to be a theme for at least this evening and the next time when we think about this subject. Now, there are a number of things. The first thing that I want us to think about is what we read here about our glorification. Jesus Christ, when he comes, he will glorify us. Here in verse 2, we are told by John, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's our adoption. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is. This is our glorification. When Jesus Christ comes, what will happen? If you turn to that passage that we had thought about before, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. Here we are told, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those who are sleeping in Jesus will God bring with him. Friends, what is death to the believer is a falling in sleep in union with Jesus Christ. And because of that union, the moment that the believer dies, you're still in Jesus Christ. Your soul is still in Jesus Christ. And the moment that your spirit, if you are a child of God, vacates your body, in an instant, your soul, it joins the body of just men, the Bible says, made perfect. Your soul is going to join the rest of the saints who have gone before you. You will appear with Jesus and with God's people. And that soul is completely made up to be holy. Your soul at the point of death will be made completely holy. Your soul will be made perfectly sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That soul enters immediately into the presence of Christ. That's what happens to the spirit of a departing saint. And you've got to know and to be confident that if you're a child of God, that will happen to you. If the Lord tarries and you have to go and He calls you, this is going to happen to you. The moment that the doctor says, he is gone. The moment that you get the call, your loved one has passed away. Your mind should go to these passages, which comforts the soul. The one who is a child of God, whose soul departs and dies and falls asleep in Jesus, that very moment, the soul has entered into heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, the Bible says. Now, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what will the Lord do? We read in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God will bring with him. Who is this God? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. He will bring these souls with him. The souls of the departed saints will return with their Lord and Savior. Then what will happen? In verse 16, the latter part, it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead, and then it says, in Christ. In Christ. That's the crucial thing. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Their union, you see, with Jesus Christ has not been terminated by their death. They are still united to Jesus Christ, even though they have died. Why is that? Because the Bible says the love of Jesus Christ will affect us in such a way that we always will be joined to Christ. Nothing, even death, will not separate the believer's soul from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what we read at the latter part of Romans 8. The body which went into the grave, it was eaten. By worms, it was maybe cast into the sea. The sharks ate it. The fishes of the sea ate it. Maybe it was burnt at the stake. It has been consumed by the worms of the earth. Yet it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Their bodies will rise. Their soul will go into this body. And what kind of bodies will they be? They will be bodies that Jesus will form in a way that has some kind of continuity with the body that has gone into the grave. It will have some kind of continuity, but it at the same time will be a different kind of body. It will be changed, as we were reading in 1 John 3. It will be changed. And this is part of glorification. We talk about saints going to glory. That's not exactly right, biblically. Glorification will take place when your soul and your body will be joined together and when your body will be changed. Like unto His glorious body, the Bible says. Now let me point out a number of verses. In Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, we read these words, "For our conversation, that is our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We are looking, we are expecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming from heaven, who shall change our vile body. He's going to change. It's going to be the same body. It's going to be the same molecules and atoms that he will bring by this great miracle. He will bring it all together. We don't know how, but He's the God who said the word and everything came into being. The same God who produced this whole world, He is going to bring your body back together. You don't have to worry about, you know, you think, well, I've signed a little thing and I carry the card with me that if I something happens to me and then somebody has my heart, somebody else has my liver, somebody else has my kidneys, what's going to happen? Your mind boggles, doesn't it? My mind boggles. And you don't even want to think about it. How is God going to bring this all about? Well, He is God and you are not. And He will say the word and all things will be brought together. But you know, it's not going to be exactly the way you were. There will be a continuity. It will still be that the molecules of that vile body, it says. And then it goes on to say that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. There will be something of continuity. It still will be the molecules and particles of that original body, but it will be fashioned like unto His glorious body. But then you say, how? How will He do this? It tells you, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. That is how. What is it saying? Because all power has been given unto Jesus Christ. Power that is in heaven, power that is in earth, by His word, everything is upheld according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. This God is going to fashion your bodies like unto His glorious body. At His return, your souls, the soul of the dead saints, they will be reunited with their bodies. But this time they will have glorified bodies. Then you think about the passage in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, there the unbelievers Paul is referring to who are mocking. These heretics who have come into the church questioning the resurrection, they are mocking in verse 35 and saying, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? What kind of body will they have? How can it be?" they're asking. And then he goes on to explain the situation. And he says in verses 42 and 42 to 44, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It says, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It is going to be a substantial body. It is going to be physical body, material body. But my friends is saying it is going to be a glorified body. It is your body will be made fit to live in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, in heaven, with God, with heavenly glory. That's glorification. One author says these words about our glorification. He says, "Glorification is the work of transforming power whereby God finally turns us into sinless creatures in deathless bodies. Then the goal of redemption is realized." You remember from Romans 8 and verses 29 to 30, we read, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." And we read in those words of 1 John 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And those believers who are yet alive at Jesus Christ's return, what will happen to them? Well, my friends, he will instantly, after the resurrection of those who have died in the Lord, instantly then, they are perfectly sanctified. Their soul is perfectly sanctified, and their body is glorified and changed like unto his own. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." This is at the coming of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen twice, not three times. It's at the coming of Christ. It will be a wonderful occasion. At the last trump. Doesn't say the last of the last. The last one. It's only going to happen once. At the last trump, your loved ones who died in the Lord Jesus, they will return. What a wonderful gathering that will be. And if you are alive, your soul will be sanctified and your body will be glorified after they are raised. And then we shall be caught up with him in the air. And what will happen next is this. We shall go to the judgment seat of Christ. That's the second thing. So he will come and he will for his own, he will glorify us. And then the second thing is that Christians are brought to the judgment seat of Christ. What does it mean by bringing us to his judgment seat? The judgment seat of Jesus Christ is the same as when we are told about the judgment seat of God. And what does it mean that Jesus will bring us to his judgment seat to be judged? Let's look at some verses. In Romans 14 and verse 10, it's a passage I would love to open up in future time because it is so relevant to us. Paul, when he is dealing with both the weak and the strong believers and how they should be toward one another, because you know, there's friction. So often we need God's grace in our lives. There are the stronger believers, more mature believers, and how they deal with weaker believers. And the weaker believers, how do they deal with the stronger believers? And the apostle deals with this issue. But in verse 10, the apostle says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" And then he says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Each one of us believers, he says, all of us is dealing in the context about believers in Jesus Christ. Each one of us, he says, each shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is the judgment seat of God. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 10, we read these words, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The apostle speaks of believers, including himself. We, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of God and the judgment seat of Christ are one and the same judicial benches, if I could use that term. One and the same. Jesus Christ is the judge. He is the judge because he is the king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will judge. This judgment is his crowning act and responsibility. He spoke about it in John's Gospel, chapter 5. He clearly spoke about it in verses 22, 23, 27. I read them to you. "For the Father," he says, "judgeth no man." So don't think it's the Father who is going to judge. No, the judgment has been given to his Son. He says, "but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." And then verse 27 it says, "and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." More scripture references could be given to prove that the judgment seat of God and the judgment seat of Christ are one and the same. So what will happen at Christ's coming for his people? He will glorify them, but then he will bring them to his judgment seat to be judged. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to be judged and to be brought at the judgment seat of Christ? What will happen? Every one of you, if you know the Lord, are going to experience this. It's just better to know it now than later on. God has given these things so that we might be encouraged and helped and comforted by it. Well, one thing that will happen at that judgment bar of Christ, Christ will identify himself with you in a public way. He will identify himself with you. It is as if you go to a court and the judge says, I know you. I know you. And he's kind towards you. His favor is towards you. Let me point out a passage that the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew 25. It's a great passage, Matthew 25. And verses 31 to 33. We read in verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. So there is going to be a general gathering of everybody, the righteous and the wicked. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Friends, what is this saying to us? Jesus, on that final day, as He brings the mass of humanity together, He will openly identify Himself with you. As He will say, you are my sheep. You are my sheep. You are my sheep. He divides you from the goats that are the wicked, unconverted. And He puts you on His right hand. He identifies with you openly before everyone. Oh, people laughed at you now. People said, oh, look at them. What kind of a God they have. Look at their way. If really the Almighty God was with them, then why are they so weak? Why are they so powerless? Why don't they have much money? Why is their church so simple? And so on. Why are they have so many troubles? But on that final day, all of those mockers will realize God, Jesus Christ, is on your side. He has identified Himself with you. Not that you have identified Himself with Him. He has done it. He brings you to His judgment seat. And He says, you are my sheep. I know you by name. That's what He will do. What a glorious thing this is. His sheep. Think about it. One of my family members said, I don't want to be a sheep. What kind of a language is this? It's very humiliating. No, His true sheep love that name. Oh, we have a shepherd. That's what it means. All these people are in front of Him, before Him. And from them, He is going to pick His sheep. And He sets them on His right hand. Then He openly says to them, in verse 34, He says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's been prepared for you, specifically for my sheep. From when? From the foundation of the world. My friends, none of us can infallibly judge who are the sheep and who are the goat. You can't do that with me. I can't do that with you. Infallibly say, oh, I know for definitely, 110% sure that so-and-so is a Christian. We go by sight, you see. We go by outward things. But God knows the heart, as we read in Samuel. But on that final day, Jesus will come and He will identify Himself with you, His children. What should you be thinking about? What comfort this should give to His children? Dear children of God, it should tell you that God knows you. Jesus knows you. And on that final day, He will show you. And He will show the whole world that He knows you. And He knows you by name. The Lord Jesus said, I know them by name. The Lord knoweth them that are His, the Bible says in Titus. And on that day, all hypocrites will be openly revealed. We have it, don't we, in Matthew 7. All those people will come and say, "Oh Lord, we have done such and such a thing in thy name." And Jesus says, "I never knew you." He will openly as well declare about who are the hypocrites. A true child of God knows his or her failures. You know that. You sense your own failures. You sense your own sins. You daily repent of them and desperately want to mortify them, put your sins to death. And you long for that day of Jesus openly call you his child before everyone. And to be a sheep of Christ. And to no longer sin against your shepherd. To no longer wander off away. And not have little faith. But your faith will give it place to sight. It doesn't matter, my friends, what people might scornfully call you now. What matters is how Jesus addresses you on that final day at his judgment seat. "Come ye blessed of my Father." Will he say that to us? "Come ye my sheep and inherit the kingdom which has been preserved for you from the foundation of the world." That's one thing that Jesus will do. He will bring you to his judgment seat to be judged, but he will confess you to be his openly. What a wonderful, comforting thing this is. But also, at that judgment seat, something else will happen. Jesus will vindicate and confess you. He will vindicate and confess you. At his judgment seat, Jesus will vindicate his people. You, if you are a true child of God, you can look forward to that day. And Jesus will glorify you. We have seen that. He will glorify you. But also, he will bring you to his judgment seat. I will identify with you. And he will vindicate you and confess you to be his. And that judgment will be a judgment, my friends, according to your works. For everyone. For everyone, it will be a judgment according to our works. Now you think, "Oh, that sounds a bit strange. That doesn't sound right, does it?" Matthew 16, verse 27, it says this: "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work." In Romans 2, 6, it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" What is this talking about? It's talking about the basic pattern of your life. Your works is to do with the general things that you're doing. Your motives of life, your thoughts, your words. You remember how the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount spoke about the things that you say. It will justify you on that final day. "By your words ye shall be justified," he says. And Paul says in the 7th verse of Romans 2, he says about this pattern of the believer's life. And he says, "To whom who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." These Christians, he says, by patient continuance in well-doing. This is how they are marked. This is how God sees them. By patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. The true children of God, you see, have been so much affected by the work of grace in their lives. The work of Jesus Christ has affected their life so much that the pattern of their life is one of patient continuance in well-doing, Paul says. They are not doing good to be saved. We all know that. They are not doing good to be justified before God, but their life has changed for good because they are saved. And you would rightly say that none of us absolutely can be perfect in our lives. Even as Christians, we cannot be absolutely perfect in life. And that is right. But it is about the overall pattern of life. On the judgment day, the believer will be shown to have a general good pattern of life, which is the work of God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the non-Christians will show a consistent bad pattern, devoid of the knowledge of God, devoid of knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." To give to every man according to his work shall be. My friend, I hope you understand clearly that you cannot be saved by your works. The Bible is so clear about this. You already bring to your mind Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And other passages that comes to your mind, we can list them, about that salvation is not of works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Now here are the two facts. The judgment will be according to our works, and no one is saved by his works. And the question is this: why then is the judgment seat, why is Christ going to judge us according to our works? Because he wants them to be fully vindicated. He wants the believers to be fully vindicated, to be exactly as they profess to be. Children of God, they've been made righteous, not only before God, but their life, the Spirit of God is working. You know, the Spirit must work in the believer. The fruit of the Spirit is seen in the believer, which is righteousness. You see, my friends, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did not simply change our standing in heaven. He didn't just change our bad record in heaven before God, but his salvation actually changes the sinner. Salvation, if it doesn't change you, my friend, in your life, it is not true salvation. For faith without works is dead, the Bible says in James 2. God, not only through Christ's finished work, declares the sinner righteous, but he begins to make them righteous. That's called sanctification. And they begin to be personally holy. There is to be personal holiness. They begin to walk the narrow road. They begin to be conformed to the image of Christ, the Bible says. Jesus will begin to increase in them, and they begin to decrease day by day. Oh yes, it's not going to be perfect, but there will be a pattern. And you will see that saint, that believer, often on their knees, repenting of sin, sensing their failures and praying about their failures before God. And even on that final day, the Lord Jesus says, look at the pattern of that person's life. Before they didn't even repent, before they didn't even feel their sin, but look at the change. They are repenting. The pattern of life is one of humility and submission. The pattern changes from evil and dead to good and living. So, on the day of judgment, Jesus is going to vindicate us and openly acknowledge and confess us to be His children. And at that point, my friends, all the pseudo-sheep, all the goats who had around their necks, "I am a sheep," they are going to be revealed. They are going to be revealed. Their pattern of life will be seen, that they were truly goats and not sheep. And then thirdly, I don't have time to go into this, but I will simply say, and we have read passages about it, that Jesus, at His judgment seat, He will reward by His grace, He will reward His people. He will give them the rewards of grace from Himself. Think about it. What a wonderful day that is going to be for God's true people. Day of glory, a day of glorification. You have pains, you have aches, you have sins. But when, if you go to be with the Lord, it is going to be far better. Your soul will be sanctified. It will be made completely perfect and righteous in God's sight. And then when He comes and you will come back with Him, then your body will be glorified and changed like unto His glorious body. And then you will be brought to His judgment seat. And then Jesus will identify Himself with you. He will say, "They are my sheep. Look at them. They are my sheep. Oh, you come to my right hand side." And He will say, "I am their shepherd. I've been leading them throughout their life. And I've guided them. And now they are going to be with me forever and ever." And then what He will do, He will show you and vindicate you to be one of His. He will confess you to be one of His. And then finally, He is going to reward you. Not of your works, but because of His grace. He will reward, gives us rewards of grace. My friends, this is all I care for. This is all I care for. This is all that we should be living for. This is what we should be teaching those people around us, teaching our children, day by day. What are you doing, my friends? Preparing the children for the earth or for heaven? Oh, we ought to be pointing everyone, young and old, day in and day out, to the place we are going. Heaven. Glory. This glorious thing that is awaiting every true child of God. And tell people about the final day. It is approaching. It is coming. Friends, let these thoughts, these words from the Scripture be a comfort to you throughout the week. Ponder over them and long for that day that Jesus will return. With all of these things will take place. May God bless us then. Amen. Let us